Well, thank you, Winona, for that beautiful offertory. And we are going to look into God's Word as we continue on in our sermon series from 1 Peter, Living Hope. And today I've entitled my message, Living in the Hope of the Gospel. Living in the Hope of the Gospel. And our text for consideration is 1 Peter 3, verses 13 through 22. Hear the word of the Lord. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. It is better, if it is God's will, to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. For Christ died for sins once for all, and the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently, in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. In it, only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you also. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture today. Lord, thank you for this sermon series. Thank you for the hope that we have in Christ through his gospel. And I pray that you would encourage our hearts today as we look into your word. We ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the opening verse of our passage today, Peter says, who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? It seems like he's referring more to the Western world of the mid-20th century than the persecuted first century churches of the Roman provinces of Asia Minor. Even in many jurisdictions of 21st century Canada, the church is still respected. We certainly didn't have anyone threatening our lives or speak poorly of us when we distributed the food hampers. Yet sadly, in many of the societies of the modern world, opposition to Christ's people and his gospel are becoming increasingly antagonistic and violent. So when we think about what it means to live in the hope of the gospel, we need to realize that we will face persecution. We will face persecution. Peter says in verse 14, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. We're not to live out our faith in fear. And then in verse 17, he says, it's better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Well, Bishop Hake Hovespian Mayer was a man who loved Jesus and his fellow Iranians. Whether they're Muslims or Christians, this dynamic 49-year-old Pentecostal pastor had a deep desire to teach and to preach the gospel to the people of Iran in the early 1990s during the dangerous dictatorial reign of the Islamic Republic. Many dissidents of this regime, along with Christians, were being unjustly detained in jail. They were being executed or murdered by various radical Islamic groups with no legal follow-up by the Islamic Republic. The government's intention was to silence the Christian minority by whatever means was necessary, and then they just conveniently blame it on the opposition party or an extremist group. But one voice One voice they could not silence was Bishop Hake. He took brave and Christ-like measures to bring to the international attention the story of a 60-year-old Iranian Christian named Mehdi Dabaj, who was unjustly detained for 10 years in prison and sentenced to death for converting from Islam to Christianity, an act punishable by execution under Islamic law. However, through Bishop Hake's prayerful and courageous intervention and the pressure of the international community, Dabaj's life was spared and he was released from prison. Persecution, harassment, and the murder of Christians in Iran was on the rise, and it peaked on January 19th, 1994, when Bishop Hake went missing. The Protestant church came together as one voice to lobby the government for action in finding Bishop Hake. Yet sadly, 10 days after, his body was identified by one of his sons in a photograph taken by the Tehran police. Family members were told that the Iranian authorities had Bishop Hake's knife-pierced body buried in a nearby Muslim cemetery. The family received permission to exhume the body and have a Christian funeral and burial for him. Commenting on Bishop Hake's martyrdom, Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias said, No persecution or trial for the moment is joyous, but rather is grievous. But afterwards, when it's finished, it will accomplish the peaceable fruit of righteousness. As you study church history, you'll see that the kingdom of God is always grown on the seedbed of the blood of the martyrs, beginning with Christ and John the Baptist, and then followed by the apostles, and then individual after individual, even families over the last two millennia, who were martyred for their belief in Christ and his gospel. These dear saints have joined that great cloud of witnesses that are now in heaven, whom we look to as heroes of the faith, not sports athletes or celebrities from movie sets, but these are heroes of the faith who remind us that if our faith isn't worth dying for, then it's not worth living for. Zacharias was one of the leading Christian apologists in the world up till his recent death on May 19th. And he said that he wept the day that he heard about Bishop Hake's death. But then he rejoiced that there are still Christian men and women who are willing to die for their faith. As the Apostle Paul declared, "For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain." Bishop Hake joins the ranks of those whom the writer of Hebrews said the world was not worthy of them. Well, when we're living in the hope of the gospel, we are to share the gospel. We're to share the hope of the gospel. Ravi Zacharias said in a 2017 interview, he had visited hundreds of universities around the world. And while sharing the gospel message on these campuses, he was encountering an increasing hostile and even clenched fist resistance to the Christian message, especially in Western university campuses. There is a growing group of people who seem to hold a deep prejudice against the gospel and towards distorting the truth to fit it into their own social ideology. It is because I say it is. And often there's very little scholarly consideration that's given to the importance of the Judeo-Christian role in maintaining a free and democratic society. Zacharias talked about a second category of people that he encountered on the university campuses, and those were whom he called the open questionnaires. This was a group that came at you with arguments of rationality and of atheism, but really, it was his experience that they really had no belief in God or desire to know him. And then Ravi mentioned a third group whom he described as the quiet people, whom he believed were secretly hoping that all he shared with them regarding the gospel was true and right. They were earnestly looking for truth. It was the third group that helped Ravi endure the ridicule and the resistance of the other two groups. And regardless how he and his colleagues were treated by others, they needed to make sure that their methods were in keeping with their message. Their methods were in keeping with their message. And anyone who has had the opportunity to listen to Ravi Zacharias speak or debate knows that at the heart of his message and the heart of this man is the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ravi shared the gospel clearly and courageously and compellingly, but above all, he shared the message of Christ with love. For after all, the gospel is a noble message of love and grace. It's a message of reconciliation and endurance. It's a message of truth and transformation. Perhaps like few others I've ever seen or heard, Ravi epitomized our key passage this morning. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give the reason for the hope you have, but do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against you and your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Well, you may be thinking, Pastor Darren, my life is not in present danger like Bishop Hakes, and I certainly can't debate the doctrines of the Christian faith like Ravi Zacharias. Well, you know what? That's okay. Because at its most basic form, sharing the gospel begins by unashamedly telling the story of Jesus and how he's changed your life and how you're learning to live in that hope daily. Our testimony is that we've set apart Christ in our hearts as Lord. This one thing I know, the risen Christ is my Lord and he's my Savior, and he alone has saved me from my sins, and he's granted me this incredible gift of eternal life. Peter says that we're always to be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks. Juanita and I led a graveside service on this past Friday for a family from the community, and I shared that there is hope beyond the grave for those who believe in Christ, because Jesus overcame death through his resurrection. It certainly wasn't the most sophisticated message I've ever preached, but I shared the hope of the gospel. With respect and gentleness, I said to this family, I come to you today as a fellow McLeod Community League member, but I also come as a minister of Christ and his gospel. Well, afterwards, the family sent me a message back thanking us for leading them through a very difficult time as they laid to rest a loved one. They had asked us to come and share the hope with them. And as Christian ministers, that's what we did. Well, when we're living in the hope of the gospel, not only do we know that there will be some suffering and persecution for that, and not only do we need to share the gospel, but we need to live triumphantly in the hope of the gospel. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at God's right hand with angels, authorities, and powers in submission to him, says Peter in verse 22. And as we enter into the last half of our passage today, I think it's wise for me to begin with a qualifier from the great theologian reformer Martin Luther, who said in his commentary regarding 1 Peter 3, verses 18 through 22, "A wonderful text is this," says Luther, "and a more obscure passage perhaps than any other in the New Testament, so that I do not know for a certainty just what Peter means." I imagine there will be a long lineup in heaven in front of Peter asking Peter, "Where were you going with this passage?" Now, that being said, I think the overall thrust of this passage connects Peter's larger theme of living in the hope of the gospel in the midst of suffering. And so in preparation for this message, I watched a movie on Bishop Hake's life. And when this man greeted people, or when he sang, or when he preached, the joy of the Lord just flowed out of him. He was jubilant. He was utterly triumphant. And he was not afraid to die for his faith. And in the end, God called him to be a martyr for Jesus. It was so evident that he knew that nothing could separate him from the love of Christ, not even death. Like martyred missionary Jim Elliot from the 1950s, who reached out to the Aka Indians and was martyred for trying to do so. Both these men knew that he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. Just as many of Peter's first century audience were suffering unjustly, so did Jesus suffer unjustly on the cross. But he triumphed over the cross. He triumphed over the cross. He saw through it, and he saw the joy beyond it. And however and whenever Jesus preached this message to spirits in prison that Peter alludes to in verse 19, I believe that it was a triumphant proclamation. And Peter goes on to tell us that this is vividly displaying believers' baptism and Christ's resurrection and ascension. We read in verses 20 and 21, "In it," the flood, "only a few people, eight in all, Noah and his family, were saved through water. And this water symbolizes baptism." It symbolizes baptism that now saves you also, not from the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a good conscience towards God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Just as Noah and his family were saved from those floodwaters of death and judgment, so we are saved through our profession of Christ, which our baptism represents. The baptism doesn't represent the cleansing of our bodies of dirt, but it represents this pledge of a good conscience. In other words, it's the pledge of faith in Christ and the power of his resurrection that saves us, which baptism is symbolic of, just like this ring is symbolic of the marriage that I have with Juanita. Baptism is symbolic of faith in Christ and the power of his resurrection. The waters of Noah and the baptism waters represent a watery grave. The waters of Noah and the baptism waters represent a watery grave of death to our sinful lives. You can read more about that in Romans 6, verses 3 through 4. This is what Christ has saved us from, the death of our old sinful lives. He saved us through his resurrection. We too have been raised up. We've been raised up into new life in Christ. And I believe Peter is saying to us that, I believe that Peter is saying to the persecuted churches reading his letter, look, just as God spared a mere 8 people from the sin and destruction of Noah's day, so God will save you, fledgling churches, from death and the demonic powers that are at work during your day. For Jesus has bodily ascended to the ultimate place of authority and victory, the right hand of the Father, where all angels and authorities and powers are in submission to him. He is sovereign and he is good. To live in the hope of the gospel means to live victoriously. Victoriously in Christ. Not arrogantly, but victoriously. For Peter told us to be gentle and respectful to unbelievers, regardless of their treatment of us. Yet we are also to be bold and confident ambassadors of Christ, because we know Jesus and his kingdom are unstoppable. And wherever the hope of the gospel goes, wherever it is proclaimed, wherever it's lived out through the ages, in Jesus' name, the church continues to grow and move forward. And one day, folks, this is our hope. One day, just as Christ has promised, he will return and every injustice will be rectified, the guilty will be fairly punished, and the innocent victims like Bishop Haig will be vindicated and be able to live in the freedom and the joy of Christ's just and eternal kingdom. This, my friends, is Peter's message to us. This is what it means to live in the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for this glorious hope that was purchased for us through your Son's death on the cross and through his resurrection, the power of his resurrection. Oh, Lord, lift us up in that same power, God, so that we may endure the suffering. Lord, that we may proclaim and share the hope of the gospel and that we may live triumphant lives, Lord. Oh God, bless your people today. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history you live and die. You broke the chains, you rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will receive. Lord, we believe. Source of heaven's light on earth. in whom we trust. You are the light, you're shining for all the world to see.
What a great song to finish up our service today. Hey, I just want to remind you, if you haven't received an email from the office that provides you with the login information and voting instructions for this Tuesday for our vision night, then please contact the office Monday morning and talk to Ryan so that you can get the information so that you can participate in this important meeting. So I'm looking forward to seeing as many as possible of you this Tuesday at 7 p.m. online. Well, for our benediction today, may the Lord bless you and may He fill you with His Holy Spirit's power so that you can stand steadfast in the hope of Jesus Christ and His gospel. Go in His grace and His peace. God bless you, Still Heights. Amen.